So we're holding on page 771, and the pasuk is by Safsus Hashem Bekirbo is Avu Tava. The people there want that crave the taiva. Vayeshuva Vayifku Gam Neisro and also Klaisol cried. Vayomru Miach Leinu Basa. Amma. So the Akeda says. So he's sort of trying to explain the word his Avu Tava, just a doubling, which many times could just mean a very strong wanting of a taiva. It's just, sometimes a poetic phrasing. But he says a different pshat. She'im shebor b'm eish Hashem v'tech b'k'tzosam ad she'tzor kol Moshe v'yispal b'dam b'tishkaish. Even though they suffered, im kol zeh lo kol musaf. They didn't learn their lesson. Al derech she'nema hikiso iso v'lecholu k'liso meino karas musaf. V'oid ma'at l'sib ha'chalush chol zekol kolo. And even though they had just gotten punished, they returned and did bad again. That's what the pasuk says. Hine, so the Akedah says, "Hapchusim ha'elu lo his avu abasa v'lo zulasam, abul his avu taiva v'midem aguna ma'od." He said these people did not crave meat, but they craved the craving. Let's talk about it and let's understand this point, because this point is something that's so relevant, so applicable to so much. There's a person, for instance, a person is hungry, he's very hungry, and so he looks for food to eat, and so the stimulus is hunger, and now what the food is going to be the answer for it. Another person is sitting around quite bored, and he would like to enjoy things, and he says, you know, if I can find something that will really tease my appetite, then I'll have an appetite, and satisfying it is going to be a great pleasure. So what he does is he stimulates his appetite in order to have an appetite, in order to enjoy something. So let's take two examples that are so pervasive, they're incredible. Imagine a person has a taiva varayas. So he looks for some way to fulfill the taiva varayas, and he is an aveira or whatever. That's one type of person. So a person had a taiva. Taiva drove him to do X, Y, Z. And that's how he satisfies his taiva. The vast majority of us go looking for material that will stimulate our taiva because we so much want to have the taiva farayas and then to enjoy the fulfillment that we look to try to find a taiva. We don't have the taiva, but there's a huge humongous industry that's built to arouse taiva, ranging from the worst of the worst to whatever. So you ask a person, well, you're not missing anything. You're not hungering for anything now. Nothing is, you know, you're not driven to anything. So what's the problem? The answer is, well, what's the point of living if I don't have what to run after? So if I can stimulate myself to run after something and then fulfill it, then I have something. Let's take a second example of something that's very pervasive in our culture. It used to be if a person needed a shirt, he went to the store and bought a shirt. Part of good household management was that you compared different stores, different prices, different qualities, different products, and you decided which shirt you want, and that's that. Today, we go to the mall to look for things that we might possibly want and then want them and then buy them and feel thrilled to buy it. I mean, it has a name today. It's called retail therapy, which is a kind of very cynical name invented by people trying to sell stuff. So here we have a person who's not missing. I've asked a person before he went to the mall, tell me, are you lacking anything? And he'll think and he'll say, no, I think I have everything. So what are you going to the mall for? Well, maybe I'll find something I'm missing. Well, that's a kind of strange statement. The answer is no. Once he works up an appetite, he sees things that he likes and he wants to have it. And then he goes ahead and buys it. So he's built an appetite and now he's fulfilled it in that satisfaction. That's a terrible midah ra'ah. It's one thing when a person has already a taiva or a chemdas amamin. And in that case, A, sometimes it's productive, like if a person is genuinely needs food and he's hungry, that'll drive him to eat. If a person needs an object, needs the necessities of life, and it stimulates him to work and get those necessities, that's also good. But when the person needs fulfillment and he looks for taivus to satisfy, that means that his only meaning in life is fulfillment of taiva. Nothing else interests him. I had a relative of mine, not from person, a nice person, but his wife had passed away, and he really had not much going on in his life. He had sort of, I think he was retired already and so on. So he explained to me that he would walk up and down the boardwalk to work up an appetite to go into a certain restaurant to eat. Like his satisfaction was eating that restaurant. And, you know, you lose. If you're not hungry, you're just not so good. So he spent his day basically exercising in order to work up an appetite to be able to enjoy the food in that restaurant. So he says it's a midugnoit sipe bignusa chacham perktes meazayin misefa midas. It's Aristotle. He, like many of them, quote Aristotle as, you know, as a given as far as sort of scientific things go and psychological things. He says like this: Od yedufa tanugim shem chazokim it's a noshem shalu yuchlu smach b'cherim. They look v'alken yechina l'atzvam dvor mechinim tzoma adkan. They look to prepare for things that stimulate their thirst in order to have something to enjoy. And this is considered by Aristotle Dava Megunamoid. V'kavona, sh'anoshem ha'mukhlotim b'shuluch ha'taivis. The people who are totally enthralled by taivis, they're not looking for the thing that will please them. Things that could please someone else, that you see someone else enjoying, he also wants to enjoy it, even though he doesn't have a time for it. They see the thrill of a thirsty person drinking water. They want that type so they can have that enjoyment. So they'll eat salty stuff in the sun and have that thirst and then have the pleasure of quenching it. This is very, very disgusting, wrong. Somebody that type is pressing him to do bad. At least we have some excuse. But if he's not right now being pressed by taiva, Einlan Shavim Molek doesn't have any good excuse. I want to expand this a minute or two. I once read something which is so true. It's a similar thought expressed sort of as common wisdom. A person would rather suffer an additional pound of pain then give up an ounce of pleasure. In other words, pain is something we have to cope with. Pleasure is something that gives meaning to life. And if a person doesn't have anything in life giving him pleasure, it's likely worthless. So if I ask a person, if I have two people in front of me, one person has very comfortable setup. Nothing demanding, not struggling with anything and so on, but no gains, no achievements. Now he has this big trust fund set up by his great grandfather. It's enough to keep him living very cushy all his life. He's got very little ambitions in business, not doing much and so on, and sort of sitting there not doing anything. That person will become extraordinarily depressed. He's going to be a mighty unhappy person, and he will do anything to either find thrills or get out of it. The second person is someone who grew up nothing. He has to work very, very hard to make parnasa, but he makes it. And it's an accomplishment. He gets parnasa, he has all sorts of things that he can sort of look at and say, wow, I did this, I accomplished that. That same person, even though objectively possesses much less, is much happier than the other person, because Pain is a price that you pay and a difficulty. Pleasure is what you're living for. That's why if one asks himself, what is the most important thing that we can give children in Yiddishkeit? Like, what's the most important thing? And the answer is experiences of spiritual pleasure. If a person will find in religion, in Yiddishkeit, in Torah, a pleasurable point, for somebody who's more learning oriented, it's the hearing of Suvya. For someone who's got regish, a davening that's profound. For someone who is an achiever, an accomplisher, doing, making, accomplishing, and so on, it's the most single most important nekuda is not to make Yiddishkeit easier, it's not to explain it, it's to give the person the point of pleasure in its achievement and attainment. Okay, the next one is also an akedah. It speaks about what were they exactly complaining about? But the complaint sounds so blah. They say, we want to go out to Mitzrayim. Zachan is dogging about Mitzrayim chinam. We remember the fish that they gave for free. It's like Yishuyim, it's Avatichim, it's Achotz, it's Psalm, it's Ashumim. Not sure what all these things are. These are all types of vegetables, onions and garlics, we know. Kishuim is some sort of gourd, and so on. So, what exactly are they trying to say? So, Akeda speaks again. V'hine, k'shero ha'om taibas ha'safsuf. When they saw the taibas ha'safsuf, shavu lifkais os einik ha'vayishayna. They started crying again. They expressed themselves this time. V'hu amram, miyach eleinu basa. Omnam, ikar asam habo bazen Hashem hi, ki im hoya boichrim b'shichru nafsham asher mitzrayim, im shibud gufam, yoysim b'shichru gufam shibud nafsham, al tor v'amitzis. Ki leroya mizgam hoizam l'toyrach o l'masa kovid. He says, really? It's like Chazal say, Zachana said, Doga shachalnu chinam, that remember chinam in amitzis. So, nominally, the taina was the food's not good enough here. It's, you know, then they don't have Mediterranean type diet or whatever it is. It's all like kugel and kishka, no vegetables and stuff like that. But down deep, there was the following taina. They said, given the choice of an easy physical life, but with a shibud ruchni, Torah, mitzvahs, and so on, versus a tough physical life, but hefka, we prefer the hefker. And in a certain sense, it's something which is exactly as we said before. If a person understands his nekuda of hana as being a ruchnius, so then ruchnius is his purpose and so on. But if you take away, if a person doesn't understand that, and you're taking away from him all his activities that he might enjoy, so the person, so even if it's hard to work in Mitzrayim, and even if the food is not good, and even if everything else is bad, but at least I don't have these mitzvahs burden. For the person who mitzvahs is just a burden, it's a much deeper burden because it imposes itself on me personally all the time from the things that I find most pleasurable. So why what's the use of eating better if I can't do anything and so on? So he says they found. So he says avlefishi bushi v'kolmo miloyma dozvim, but they're embarrassed to say that. Hayim evakshim to enos lunos. They look for all sorts of excuses. Yulem ilaloyma shaylam to mitzrayim. They would find all sorts of excuses why it was better mitzrayim kolma ki toivlem ozmi ata. So this is. The Akedah is pointing out another point over here in terms of understanding the relationship of Chazal and Psukim. In the Pasuk they say, oh, we remember the food was so great in Mitzrayim. Chazal say, Chinam means Chinam and Mitzvahs. So the Akedah reconciles it. What they were saying with their mouths, what they were articulating is as it says in the Pasuk, that they had great, you know, food and whatever it was, that was their taina. They were down deep. They were really upset for something else, but they couldn't articulate it. So the two levels of the Pshat and the Pasuk and Chazal are actually addressing two different levels. One is, what did they say? What did they verbalize? And two, what was in their hearts? So he says, so even they were embarrassed to say, I mean, they're embarrassed to stand up and say, we don't want Torah, we don't want that. But they're saying, they were embarrassed to say that. That they don't have a good excuse. You have a woman who fell in love with a different man. She's not going to come along and say, oh, I just saw Jack and he's so much more handsome than my husband. I think that's where I want to go to. You have to be pretty low to say that. So she'll have a different slew of excuses. The boda meliba sheina zanosa, he's not feeding her, or sheina yochol, or whatever it is, he can't do what he needs to do. She needs an excuse that it's better for her there than by a husband. But that's not true. That's not what she wants. She's not she wants to go back because her husband's not good. She has somebody else that she fell in love with. Whenever they kept saying how one was Mitzrayim, it was sort of a cover up for what they were really thinking. I want to add another point to explaining this. So basically he's saying something that they basically did not want to keep mitzvahs. It was something that was too difficult for them, they didn't want to, and therefore they were willing to go to any excuse and so on. But let's ask ourselves, what is that not wanting to keep mitzvahs? And it doesn't seem there's any particular point. What exactly are they so resistant to it? And the answer is, just like when you deny yourself something, you don't like it. So any deprivation of pleasures is not good. You don't like it. In a sense, Kabbalah's Olmach HaShemayim is quote-unquote a deprivation of all Tanugim. The statement that Torah makes is none of the pleasures of this world are meaningful to build your life around it. And don't build your life around it. There's a new world of pleasures that are ruchniyistic of pleasures, and that's the world you should build around. So the pleasure of learning and understanding, the pleasure of the regish, of connecting with the regish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pleasure of doing for other people, of helping people, of self-control, and so on and so forth. But basically, in a real way, Torah is totally uprooting. It where a person who doesn't have Torah, doesn't learn, has no problem saying, This whiskey is what's worth living for. This is tapas, this drink, this food, this whatever, this woman. That's what he says. A ben mitzvah, if he's sincere, if he knows what he's saying, ben Torah ben mitzvah, can't say that. Basically, you know, it could be a glatt kosher steak, chassidish shechit and everything, but you can't build your life around it. It's wrong. I mean, if the core value of the Torah is life is about other things, and therefore you can't build anything around it, you can't build your life around it, and therefore you need to give it up in a sense. In a sense, a person who's entering a ruchnistic world is giving up his gashmis. He doesn't physically have to stop eating a steak, but at the end of the day, he that's not his life anymore. And that's a very, very difficult transition, because you give it up before you actually fully replace it with something that's more enjoyable, or enjoyable a different way, and that's why people resist it. Let's see one piece of the Rebbe Chaya about the mon. He's also trying to explain why were they so enthralled by all of these garlics and onions and who knows what. Imagine somebody come tell us that they're upset that they became free people because the broccoli souffle that the lady of the house used to make is something that's unattainable outside. And that's what we're saying. It's like a shum of a tikh machatsa psalm shum. It's about the same value. Ki asaf suf gamigdola am shnot achreim v'nirshach ha-taivah sen ha-gufin. The asaf suf was of great people who were drawn to taivah. V'zeo kefla loshem lishazik ha-inyin shenem sha'omru sha'oma yis'abu taivah kolem yimshichu taivah nefsham yis'abu. V'yisem midas ha-taivah chazoka behem v'lechtam achashirus libam b'chol min ha-taivah shal guf. The midas ha-taivah was extremely strong. And they went after the taiva. The taiva pushed them and drove them. Koshan besamach voichal mishpachayis adosh asal iskin shpachayis aval raizah sotah. V'loi hoi mashkich miyon sikhon shal vayla. And they didn't care for the type of life of sikhliyas. Zeo she'omra. This is, they expressed in the pasuk, bilti ala man einenu. The only thing we eat all day is man. Why? The man was one type of food. It was like, you know, like a formula of important ingredients. It helped the person understand. Let's give an illustration for this. I remember many years ago, 1980, I was hospital for a week in Israel, and I had pneumonia with hepatitis, and it was very weak. I didn't feel like eating, and whatever I needed, I guess I was getting through my arm, through an IV. So I wasn't hungry, I didn't feel hunger, but I really, really wanted to eat. In other words, eating was more than just hunger. Eating was an activity. So I didn't feel hungry, but I wanted to eat a bagel and a coffee. The physicality of eating it is something that I needed more than the food or the nutrition of it. And that's something that is it's somebody physical needs physical things. And it's very hard. So even if someone were to take, so the man was a type of food that didn't go very far in satisfying the physical senses. It gave the person what he needed, and therefore it focused the person on ruchnius by not being a heavy meal that gets you very physical. But if you're not holding there, you really, really don't want it. Ki tiva mara hoya me'aver ulechoizek tavosam ulechesaron sichlam ulechoizek amal des chesaron. They were saying, this man is bland, all it does is fill you up, and then and instead of knocking you out, putting you to sleep and feeling like really full and good, all it does is it feeds you and you're ready to go back to Seder again. The bad teva would blind them and they would look for physical things. So the Rebbe Chai says these elements are particularly coarse. They're very kind of, they come from the ground and they're less refined, I guess, than Paris. I'm not sure how to measure it, but that's how he explains Rebbe Chai. Okay, we'll hold it here.